20. Marcus. I've never had to do this before, Titus said. At least, not on this scale. It was late in what had been a very long day that had not been improved by a brawl involving no less than 14 members of the 37th. The men fought. It was inevitable, given their lifestyle. And he'd heard of fights in Legion camps that had seen dozens dead. But never the 37th. Never his Legion. All the men involved would be punished, but first he needed to drag what had incited the brawl out of them, which might be a challenge, for Servius had indicated all were being reticent. But that had to wait. The sun was low in the sky, and they were walking ahead of the stretchers of the men they'd discharged, heading through Aracom toward the harbor, where a ship waited to take them away. Out of sight, and therefore out of mind. At least that was the idea. Drums thudded a regular beat, sodden banners flopping on the wind, and rain pinging against the golden dragon standards of both the 37th and the 41st. An honor guard surrounded them, but the procession was also full of men not included in the guard. Brothers, friends, lovers. Those who'd feel the absence of these young men more than anyone else. Marcus didn't think distance would do much to change that. Don't let it ever get easy, he finally answered the other commander. They were injured following your orders and mine. It's part of the job. Casting a cold glance at Titus, he said, they didn't choose this path. Don't forget it. They reached the harbor, moving on to the pier. The only ships in port were those from Marcus's fleet, but that would change. One day he hoped to see it full of merchant vessels, the docks teeming with people rather than devoid of life as they were now. The men carrying the stretchers stopped, and Marcus started toward those holding soldiers from his legion. Young men that he'd known since childhood. Whether they were conscious or not, he thanked each for their service and saluted them. Then he stepped aside to allow others to say their farewells. There were many who came to say goodbye to Mickey, the Cybernese legionnaire having always been popular, but Quintus never left his side, his face shadowed and drawn. But when the medics nodded at the stretcher bearers to proceed to the ship, he stood his ground, watching expressionless as Mickey was taken away. Waiting until all were boarded, Marcus nodded once at the drummer who played a series of beats. Then the air was split with the thunder of hundreds of men's fists striking armored chests in salute. Marcus saluted as well, then gave the order to return to camp. Moving through the men, he caught hold of Quintus's arm. We need to talk.
I don't want to.
It wasn't a request. Let's walk. Glowering, Quintus allowed himself to be led a distance from the rest of the men, then crossed his arms over his chest.
What?
I'm sorry about Mickey. Wiping away the rain running down his face, Marcus added, and I'm sorry I couldn't send you with him.
Rules are rules, aren't they, sir?
It was impossible to miss the sarcasm in Quintus's voice. Gibson wants you out. Quintus snorted.
Ungrateful prick. I've saved his ass more than once. He's a piece of shit Primus compared to Agrippa.
He's here, whereas Agrippa abandoned us for a girl, so maybe give Gibson some credit. Scuffing his sandal against the cobbles, Marcus added, none of the other centurions want you. They all think that with Mickey gone, you're going to
lose it.
Something like that. Quintus pulled out a knife and began pruning his fingernails.
So I'm not discharged, but neither do I have a place in the 37th.
That's right.
Screw you all.
Quintus started to walk away, but Marcus caught his arm and hauled him back, well aware that if the other soldier decided to fight him, that Marcus would be the one who'd end up bleeding out on the street.
Tyriana wants you back as her bodyguard. Because I did such a wonderful job of it last time.
You did as well as anyone could. Especially given that they'd been betrayed by someone who they all trusted. Except if Marcus revealed that information, Quintus would probably kill both Titus and Felix. Never mind that one of them was innocent.
Tyriana trusts you.
And so do I.
Your trust is misplaced, Marcus. Because I fully intend to desert at my first opportunity. And you and I both know that even if you had the manpower to spare to hunt me down, you'd never find me.
If you were planning to go alone, that would be the case, Marcus admitted. but we both know that you'd never abandon him. And seeing the anger rising on Quintus's face, he swiftly added, besides, there's another option, a better option.
I doubt it.
Knowing he was treading on dangerous ground, Marcus took a deep breath. You keep Tariana safe while she's with us. I'll alter the 37th's books to say both you and Mickey are dead. You'll both be free. Silence hung between them.
Why can't you just do that today?
Quintus asked.
Don't you think you owe me that much after years of doing your dirty work?
Freedom has a price, Quintus. This is the cost of yours. Keep her safe for me, and you'll have the chance at a different life. Wind whistled through the streets, ripping and tugging at his cloak.
There is no limit, is there?
Quintus finally said.
No line you won't cross to have things your way.
There were lines, except Marcus kept finding himself on the other side of them. From nowhere, the memory of Lydia's pleading eyes filled his vision, along with the sensation of her nails digging into his skin as she fought to hold on, as she fought to survive.
Murderer.
He shoved the memory away, burying it deep with all the others. Do we have a deal?
Yeah.
Quintus spit into his hand, then held it out.
We've got a deal.